All right, well, here's the scene. It's the annual fall youth group retreat. The air is thick with the aroma of the Friday night campfire, the taste of hot dogs and s'mores, the sounds of Seek Ye First and They'll Know We Are Christians By Our Love. Kind of gives like a kumbaya feeling to the whole evening. We retreat back to our cabins and we fall asleep to the sounds of crickets and the popping embers of the smoked out campfire. Are you seeing the scene? The next morning, we all wake up with the sunrise. We get dressed. We check the mirror, check our little 1982 curtain bangs, which, by the way, are back in style. And then we head outside and down the trail, and we just breathe in that crisp morning air, and we enter the chow hall where we're getting ready to have our hot pancakes with those cold refrigerated bottles of syrup. I do not understand to this day why anybody would serve hot pancakes with a cold bottle of syrup. So thus my request came, where to this very day I never serve pancakes without heating up the syrup. And of course, after our tummies are full with pancakes and Link sausages, and remember that watered down orange juice that they would serve us, then we pull out our Bibles and our notebooks, and we're ready for the morning session one, where we're taught about the Great Commission and how to win our friends to Jesus. And then we're dismissed to go to a quiet spot for our quiet time. And the only thing I remember about those 30 minutes was how quiet it was, waking up 30 minutes later, my Bible still in my lap, my notebook on the floor, my pen on this floor. I don't know, my mouth is probably open, who knows? But I was asleep the whole time. So where I really wanted to absorb God's word, I just absorbed my breakfast. So 1 Thessalonians 5:12. You know, it's that pray without ceasing verse in the Bible. That's always been a really big challenge for me, and probably for most people. I have never met a person that talked to God and prayed every second of the day. I've never met one. But one thing this verse does tell me is that prayer is absolutely critical in order to journey this life as a Christian, and yet it is the most neglected part of our walk with God. In the Global Church Member Survey, only 17% of regular church attenders actually ever attended a designated prayer night, kind of like tonight. The 2014 Pew Research Center conducted a survey that only 41% of those who profess to be Christians actually prayed. 41% actually prayed. And then if they did pray, they would say it was only for major life decisions. If I communicated, actually, let's just stop right there. Let's use that word communication. Let's take the word prayer out of it. You know, what about communication without ceasing? You know, for somebody like me who loves to talk, I'm all for that. But communication, that's what God is looking for. And we get that so mixed up with, how am I going to pray all day? Well, sometimes we just want to communicate. But if I only communicated with my husband or my children just regarding major life decisions, then how would I ever really get to know them? How would I know their hearts? How would I know what their dreams are? How would I know what they're so frustrated about? How would I ever just enjoy their company? I have these once-a-week dates that I set up with all of our kids where we go out to Starbucks or we'll go get a donut or something, but it's just a time set aside for just mom and my son or daughter. And many times we don't have an agenda. We just visit. We like to do that in the South. We just visit. And so that's what we do. I get to hear their hearts. What are you frustrated about? What went on at school today? That's exactly what Jesus wants with you and me. That's all it is. It's just communication. You know, I heard a pastor give this illustration one time, and I've never forgotten this. And he said this. He was just driving down the road, and he was just really in the mood to listen to some good 1970s, early 80s music. So he put on the radio, and it just happened to be the Doobie Brothers. It was a really popular band back in the day. And anyway, he started singing along. Whoa, whoa, listen to the music all the time. Okay, if you don't know that song, don't judge me, but it's a great song. All right, so he was just jamming down the highway, and he said, oh, I'm a pastor. I'm a Christian. And he turned it off. And he said, okay, I'm so sorry, Lord. I'm so sorry, Lord. Listen to the Doobie Brothers. And he keeps driving. And he sensed that the Lord stopped him and said, why did you turn it off? Why did I turn it off? Because it's not a Christian song. And he sensed right away that Jesus said, turn it back on. I like that song. It's fun. And I created the Doobie Brothers. They have the thumbprint of God on them just like you do. You're a pastor. They're not. But I like that song. So he turned it back on, and he learned a big lesson by that, that sometimes Jesus is just a whole lot more fun than we are. So I think sometimes we just have to stop and just enjoy the music. Now, I'm not saying that you should listen to all secular music, because some music is perverted, and we know that. But many, many songs in this world are just plain fun. So next time you're going down the highway and you just want to listen to some fun music, just crank it up and just enjoy that time with Jesus. Well, now let's get to our M&Ms. Okay, here we go. Joshua 1:8 says this, this book of instruction must not depart from your mouth. That's our first M. You are to recite it day and night so that you may carefully observe everything written in it, for then you will prosper and succeed in whatever you do. Okay, so open up your little M&M packet. For those of you that don't have your M&Ms, you can get some more in the back, and I want you to eat one M&M. Okay? All right. That's your first M. It means mouth, okay? So, Psalm 119:11 says this, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Okay, well, how do I get God's word in my heart? Here's the second M. Okay, so grab your second M&M. Here we go. Pop it in your mouth. All right. You're going to think about this every time you go to Walmart and get yourself some M&Ms. Psalm 1:2 says this, his delight is in the Lord's instruction, and he meditates on it day and night. Maybe this is where that pray without ceasing can come in. The word meditate is from the Hebrew word haggah. Isn't that pretty? Haggah, which means to mutter. 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 That means you open up your mouth and you speak. So our first M is mouth. Our second M is meditate, which means to mutter. It actually means to open your mouth and speak. And the third M, take your M&Ms. After this, you can just eat them the rest of the time I talk. That's fine. All right. The third M is this, memorize. You see, that's how the early Jewish people memorized the Torah. They muttered it all day long. For those of you that are love the Chosen, like the Shed family, we just binge on it. It's just awesome. If you have not watched the Chosen yet, I highly recommend that you get the app and you start watching. They've already completed 2 seasons. We have binged on 16 episodes, and we just absolutely love it. It is phenomenal. Well, there is a scene in one of the episodes where Mary Magdalene, she's got her, you know, her purse, her knapsack, and she's just going around the field. She might be picking flowers. She might be getting herbs. She might be getting some seedlings. And she's muttering the whole time, if I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. And she's just repeating this over and over and over again. She's muttering. You see, in early first century Palestine, women couldn't read, they couldn't write, and they weren't even allowed. But, you know, of course, Jesus came and blew the lid off all of that. Hallelujah. But the point is this. If women were going to learn the word of God, they had to mutter it. They couldn't read it, and they certainly couldn't write it. You know, I have these index cards that I used when I was working on my master's degree, and I literally, every single day, I would write down color code on these index cards, everything that my brain needed to remember to get through my finalizing exams. I would get up in the morning, I would read them as I'm getting ready for work. I would read them during my lunchtime. I would read them at a stoplight. I mean, think about all the times that I could have been memorizing God's word, but instead I was memorizing, you know, equations or certain things or music theory, things that I had to learn. So writing things down and muttering them constantly helps you to remember it. Here's a statement that I keep in my classroom at school. I'm a teacher, and I teach by lots and lots of examples to remember things. Well, this is a quote by Benjamin Franklin, and it really became the basis for all of my teaching, and it says this: tell me, I forget. Show me, I learn. Involve me, and I remember. When you start to involve yourself in the process, you're going to remember it, all right? So remember, muttering is involvement, and you will remember. I've always been a fan of Elizabeth Elliot. Her books, they line my bookshelves, and they're autographed from times that I've sat under her teachings. She's a deep, deep well of wisdom. She was the wife of the late Jim Elliot. Elizabeth died a couple years ago, but her husband was martyred by the Alka Indians of South America back in the 1950s. And after he died, they'd only been married a couple of years. And after he died, she wrote many, many books and all of his journals. And if you're ever looking for some deep, deep wisdom, I recommend getting some books by Elizabeth Elliot. Deep, deep well. Well, I'll never forget the first time that I heard her speak at a huge Campus Crusade for Christ convention in Kansas City, Missouri, back when I was in college. And she said this: here are the boxcars of a train. Fact, faith, and feelings. Keep your life in that order. The fact of God's word, you put your faith in God's word, and your feelings come at the end. Now, do feelings have their place? Of course they do. They just shouldn't drive the train. We as a society are really in touch with ourselves. We really are, much more than my parents' generation. We're really in touch with our feelings, and that's not all a bad thing, but sometimes we are so in touch with our feelings that those feelings guide every single decision that we make throughout the day, and we can't live like that. We have to base our life on the fact of God's word. We put our faith in his word, and trust me, those feelings will come later. How many of us come to church, and I don't feel like worshiping that day? I'm just feeling dry. I'm just really not into it. But I just step up, and I just start to worship, and I just proclaim his name. And by the end of the worship set, I feel like worshiping. So don't let the feelings drive the train. Elizabeth Elliot also said this, that the older that she became a lot more distracted when she would pray. She said, when I'm praying, I would get so distracted thinking about all these other things. And so she just started reading the Psalms, because the Psalms are actually prayers. Now, maybe that might seem a little bit too liturgical for our Pentecostal charismatic circles, but they really are God's words, and he might just enjoy hearing them. So if you're looking for a place to start, just start at Psalm 1:1. Blessed is the one who doesn't walk with the wicked, or stand with the evildoers, or sit with the mockers. And as you're reading that, just begin to pray that, Lord, help me not to sit with mockers and evildoers. Show me when I need to get out. Show me where I need to be there. But you can pray along with the Psalms, and it will help keep you very, very focused. When we pray the actual words of God, it's as if Jesus himself were praying the word with me. John 1:1 says this: in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I heard somebody say one time in church a long time ago, they said, we don't need more of the word. We just need worship. And I looked at it and I said, well, with all due respect, the word is Jesus. So are you saying we don't need enough of Jesus? She didn't understand that verse. John 1:1, read it. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Romans 8:26, and he will intercede on your behalf. Now, this is the kicker. I mean, I pray the Word of God, who is Jesus. Jesus is the Word of God, who then takes my words that I say with my mouth, that I mutter. He takes them back to the Father, and then he pours back on my life the blessings and the answers to my situations. It's kind of like that water cycle that we all learned in the second grade. Remember that? You've got rivers and lakes. You've got all this water, and they evaporate into the clouds. The clouds get heavier and heavier and heavier. And once those clouds are so heavy, what happens? It pours down rain upon the earth. It's God's perfect, perfect science. If we didn't have the water cycle, we would either all completely dehydrate or we would all drown. The water is the Word of God. The water is your prayers. The water of your prayers get caught up into the clouds. Those clouds are where your prayers are. That's where they're sitting. They're just, it's like a holding pattern. They're just staying up there. And the more you pray, the heavier those clouds are getting. And at some point in your life and in my life, it's going to burst down. It may not even be rain. It might be a monsoon. Pray for a monsoon, an answer to those prayers. The more the prayers, the heavier the clouds, the heavier the rain. So how does this work practically? Well, here's a mom example. Let's say that I tell one of my daughters that she and her sisters need to go upstairs and clean their room. My daughter goes upstairs and she says, "Mom says we need to clean our room." You see, there's weight and authority to the instruction because they're my words. They're not my daughter's words. Okay? Although I do question at times if that has much weight or authority. But the point is this. Authority has weight. Okay, now here's a God example. 1 Thessalonians 4:3 says this, "For this is the will of God, your sanctification, to live a pure, holy, and sanctified life." Well, this is really power-packed because it actually says this is the will of God. So when I read that verse, this is what I do. I speak these exact words over my situation. I say something like this, "Father, I thank you for the perfect word and your perfect will that you fill in the blank. Be sanctified. Set apart for your purposes. Please give hundreds of opportunities for you fill in the blank to come into your perfect will. Please close every single door and open only the right doors to this person in their life." You see, this is how I just take a basic scripture and allow the Holy Spirit to craft whatever else he wants to put around that verse. I want to bring attention to Pastor Lori Stewart's book. She wrote a great book called Promises for Prodigals, and I just ate this book up. She wrote this, and it's just packed full of promises, the Word of God, and prayers that she's crafted together, and all you have to do is open it up and read it and fill in the blank. She's already done all the work for you. So I highly recommend this. There's a lot of great books out there about praying God's promises for your family, but this is a great one. And you can see Pastor Lori after church, or you can order it on Amazon.com. Now, with thousands of words in the Bible, how do I even know where to start? Bible teacher Shermaine Jones of the Tidewater Bible Institute highly recommends that we read the Bible as we would read a book. In other words, you get a new book. You would not start at chapter 3, then skip to chapter 7, then go back to chapter 5, and then end up with the intro. Of course not. You wouldn't do that. I saw her logic in this, and it really changed my whole Bible reading pattern. So how do I know where to stop when I start reading the Bible? Pastor David Odessa said this one time in a sermon. He said this, "You stop when you get something out of it." That's where you stop. You might read one or two verses and you just had a rhema moment. You just got, you know, you just got a download from God. You just got knocked over the head. You're done. That's all you need to read that day. And that's okay. So here's an example of how I've been doing this. I just happen to be in the book of Hebrews 3. For those of you under 25, this is a Bible. This is a phone. And they're two different things. I realize that, you know, these phones can be very, very convenient, but I just highly recommend to get a brick and mortar Bible. Really, I mean, just get a Bible. All right, so let's say that I just happen to be in the book of Hebrews 3, all right? See, I can write in my Bible. I can't write on my phone. I just happen to be reading Hebrews chapter 3. I keep reading and I notice this little pattern that says this: today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Okay, well, this repeats itself quite a few times. Same verse, verse 7 of chapter 3, verse 15 of chapter 3, and verse 7 of chapter 4. So obviously this is really important to God, or it wouldn't be repeated four times. So this is how I would pray this verse. I would say something like this. I would stop right there, and I would say, Lord, today I want to hear your voice. Please keep my heart pliable and soft and full of compassion and full of fertile soil so that I can walk in your truth with an undivided heart. You see, I just took a simple verse, and I just augment it with however the Holy Spirit leads. I love history. Our family lives in the Grassfield area of Chesapeake. It's really close to a little town called Deep Creek. It's one of the oldest parts of Chesapeake. And while driving along George Washington Highway 17, you'll notice two very old churches. And one of them was founded and built in 1859. That's before the Civil War. That's a long, long time ago. You know the saying that says, if walls could talk? Well, in this situation, if roads could talk. So I'm driving along the road multiple times in a given year, and I imagine this well-paved road as something very different a long time ago. You see, roads began as Native American trails. They served as conduits for trade, communication, hunting, diplomacy, and cultural interactions. These trails were formed by removing debris and rocks and weeds and mud and dirt, and later they became markers for the covered wagons to go out west for the pioneers, okay? They were typically near reservoirs where animals would need water and food, and of course around here we've got the Dismal Swamp. So a lot of our roads kind of were built by the Native Americans that really began that long ago near water reservoirs. The Native Americans started these paths by removing obstacles and later became padded down by the covered wagons. Now let's jump way ahead to the colonial days, and then what happened? Cobblestone streets, okay? So today, our paved roads with yellow and white markers, for the most part, are smooth, debris-free, clearly marked paths to get you to your destination quicker and safer than it was 200 years ago. But it wasn't always like this. The roads were bumpy, they were muddy, they were filled with weeds, debris, and obstacles that all had to be removed for the next generation to come through. You and I are obstacle removers. If you do nothing else on this planet from this day forth, you are an obstacle remover. Here's my road. I cannot get through this road. There is too much debris here. But when I pray for my son, something just got removed. I just prayed for my daughter. More got removed. I prayed for my oldest son. That got removed. You all know what I'm talking about. I prayed for my dad. We prayed for the church. I prayed for my husband. Prayed for my sweet friend Lori. Oh, some pretty flowers. I'll pray for my friend. And I'll pray for my other son. Now look, I just paved the way for the next generation to come to Jesus. safer, and quicker. I've removed those obstacles just by prayer. That's all I did. I just prayed. In his book, Sacred Parenting, by Gary Thomas, this is a great book. There's a biblical example of this from Joshua chapter 7, and it recalls how a father named Achan defied God's decree and stole some forbidden plunder. When Achan's sin came to the light, he paid a severe price, but he wasn't alone. The nation stoned him and his entire family to death. Achan's wife and kids suffered the ultimate punishment for Achan's greed. Our children may not pay the kind of immediate price that Achan's family paid. It may take 20 or 30 years for our descendants to live the consequences of our lives, or the lack thereof. But we can leave an easier road for them, or we can make it harder for them. If this doesn't motivate you to pray, I do not know what will. So I want to finalize this now with a huge bucket of grace. We all have those days. We may have many of those days. You know the scene. The Bible doesn't get read that day, or maybe didn't get read all week. The tyranny of the urgent is controlling every waking minute of your life. Things at work or at home are just piling up. You cannot get caught up. Your inbox is so full that you can't decide between praying, reading your Bible, checking your inbox, your text messages, your Facebook, or your Instagram. I know. I'm a mom of 8 kids. I work a full-time job outside the home, and I still come home to laundry piles, dishes, meal prep, and I get my kids to music lessons and dance and the never-ending trips to Walmart because we're always forgetting something at Walmart. Can I just encourage you with one word that will calm that chaos, stop the noise, and ease up the demands on your life? And that name is Jesus, and he will calm those raging storms. I have sat down on my backyard bench swing, ready to read my Bible, ready to pray, but it is not prayers or words that come out that day. It's just tears. And all I can say is, Jesus, 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 help me, protect me, strengthen me, protect my kids, take this whirlwind in my life and just make my crooked path straight, because I cannot straighten these things out. I can't straighten them out for my life, and I can't straighten them out for his life. Take it, Lord. We grew up singing this hymn in church. It's a classic hymn that was written during the Reformation of the 1500s by Martin Luther. This is before, you know, Hillsong hit the scene. It's entitled, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. And the words are so powerful that I'm just going to lead you as we're ending this together. We're just going to sing it together. I want to lead you in these words because I want them to get deep in your spirit. So I'm going to lead you and you just sing along with me.
And though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God has willed his truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall fail him.
And that little word is Jesus. Remember the water cycle, the prayer cycle? I believe that every time you pray, I believe every time I pray, our prayers are getting caught up in a bowl. And one day, this bowl is going to get really heavy. It's going to raise up to the clouds, and it's going to get heavier and heavier and heavier. And one day, because the Lord says, I will see the goodness of the land of my life, you're going to see the answer to those prayers. And I'm going to see the answer to my prayers. And it's going to look something like this. You're never going to forget that. I didn't just win America's Got Talent. I got the golden buzzer from God. And every time you pray and every time I pray, you're getting the golden buzzer from God. Amen.
And I'm supposed to follow that. Which was my obstacle, hon? I think it was that one right there. Well, I'm going to stand on a bunch of prayers here. Can we praise the Lord on that? Wasn't that a good word? So we're going to start with a beautiful song called I Speak Jesus. Would you stand with me? And would you begin to let this dwell and kind of fill your spirit? And it's going to prepare us to speak Jesus over the needs that we need to see breakthrough tonight. Let's worship right now.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind, 'cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus. Your name is power, your name is healing, your name is life. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like a fire.
I just want to speak the name Jesus over fear and all anxiety, to every soul held captive by depression. I speak Jesus. Your name is power, your name is healing, your name.
Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy, Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus.
Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy, Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Shout Jesus from the mountains, and Jesus in the streets.
Can you say, thank you, Lord? Let's just pray. Father, we come to you tonight, and we start by speaking your name in a prayer of surrender. Lord, we come and we take our flag and we come and plant it on that top of the mountain and say, God, we surrender to you today. We give to you everything that we are. And I just invite you right now to ask the Lord to show if there's anything that you need to specifically release to him tonight, specifically surrender, whether it's your will, whether it's your heart, whether it's your family, whether it's your job, whether it's a situation. Lord, we reach and we lift it up to you right now. We surrender and we give to you lordship over our lives. As we learned last week in VBS, we take ourselves off the throne of our hearts and we put you there, oh God, in Jesus' name. We surrender to you tonight. We speak your name. We invite you, Lord, to come and to move in our